AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. Three children shot and killed at a school in Nashville. This woman lives nearby.
I saw a bunch of kids just running down Hills Road, just screaming, and couldn't see anything, but the sirens were just, I mean, they were blaring for probably 25 minutes, and they're still going right now.
It's not clear how many people might have been shot or if others were wounded. Police say the suspect is dead after officers said they engaged the shooter. WTVF reporter Kelsey Gibbs says it's all taking place at a Christian private school in Nashville where 200 children are there from preschool right through grade six.
There are parents that are still trying to make their way through this traffic. They are being turned around. We have seen them running towards the school and just frightened, as you can imagine, to get the news from whether it's social media or the school that their child or loved one may be in danger.
Again, police say three children were shot and killed at that school today. Overseas, a day of mass protests in Israel.
We will continue to fight until this madness is stopped and order is returned to our country.
Opponents of Prime Minister Netanyahu's proposed judicial reform, snarling traffic and causing malls and schools to close. An ally of the prime minister says legislative action on the package has been put off till next month. In New York City, a grand jury resuming work on the hush money case that's embroiled former President Trump. CBS's Graham Cates outside the courthouse.
Here we are again. There are just a couple of protesters. But, you know, what we know is that today they're meeting again. We don't know for sure what they're going to be hearing while they're meeting again.
All over parts of western Mississippi, people are trying to salvage what they can after destructive tornadoes.
Trying to get what we can out of the rubble. It's pretty shocking.
At least 26 are dead after that system rolled through the south a few days ago. The head of the International Atomic Energy Agency paying a visit to Ukraine today. CBS's Cammy McCormick.
Rafael Grossi warned Ukraine's president that the situation at Europe's largest nuclear plant in Zaporizhia isn't getting any better. The plant's lost a lot of its transmission cables and had to switch to emergency power generators during shelling. The fighting continues in that area, and the facility, he says, is at risk of a nuclear disaster.
The remains of a U.S. airman whose plane was shot down over Germany during World War II have been accounted for. 25-year-old Edgar Mills died during a bombing raid. Checking Wall Street, right now the Dow is up 227 points. This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed.
Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credits.
I can't wait for what's next. Even with higher stroke risk due to atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem, Eliquis, apixaban tablets, reduces stroke risk. It's the number one cardiologist-prescribed blood thinner.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without talking to your doctor, as this may increase your risk of stroke. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or have antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or unusual bruising, or if you have tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. It may increase your bleeding risk if you take medicines such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Come work at a world-renowned golf resort right in your own backyard. Sand Valley. On Saturday, April 1st, from 10 until 1, Sand Valley is holding a hiring event looking for both full and part-time seasonal help. There are jobs available all over Sand Valley, on the golf course and grounds, at the resort, from check-in to guest services to dining to the reservation center. April 1st, from 10 to 1, Sand Valley is looking for you. Bring your resume, learn about us, and see what opportunities await you. Go to sandvalley.com/careers for more information.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Tuesday, March 28th. In Wood County, the meeting for the City of Wisconsin Rapids Police and Fire Commission will take place at 8 a.m. in the first floor conference room at City Hall. In Portage County, the Planning and Zoning Committee will meet at 5 p.m. in the Portage County Annex in Conference Room 5. There will be a public hearing requested by Derry Nelson, an agent for Riverside Bible Conference, to amend the Town of Lanark Comprehensive Plan Future Land Use Map. The request is to change 28 acres of land from agricultural to institutional use, as well as 4 acres from natural areas protected to institutional, in addition to other zoning changes. The total acreage affected is close to 38 acres. The Village of Whiting Public Works and Parks Committee meeting will take place at 6 p.m. at 3600 Water Street in Stevens Point. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 45. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, partly cloudy. High temperatures reach up to 43. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. About an inch of snow tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 44.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
What did I say when I thought I got it?
I have no idea.
It's right for today.
It's right for today.
Oh,
it's
you know right. What, Jane? Can you ever be on my side? Ever?
What do you think got me this job?
What do you think got me? Oh, darn it. Shoot. I'm in.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour.
Just tripped right off your tongue.
I don't screw it up anymore. I just got it.
Oh, you got it down.
I got it down after it only took me a whole month to memorize what we're calling our last hour of the day, where we talk about fun things instead of sad things or angry things. We talk about fun stuff that's coming up in Wisconsin, and that includes this week, the Midwest Gaming Classic, which is a gamer's paradise and one of the country's largest independent gaming trade shows, and it's been going on for like 20 some years almost. And so here to talk about it and what you can expect and whether or not this is for hardcore gamers and going to convince Jane to show up this weekend is hype man Andy Nelson. That's your official title,
right? Yes, they give me a badge and everything that says hype man on it. I love it. It's like the reason I go.
So, and you've been involved in it for like 15 years.
Yeah, in one form or another, you know, I started working officially with my, you know, promotional PR marketing business a few years ago. But, you know, back when I was at the Pabst Theater Group, we used to co-promote shows with them all the time. We would bring video games live through. So it was back in like 2007, I think, the first time I went. And it was at some hotel in like Econimowoc with, you know, maybe 1,000 people. And now it's grown into this massive thing where we're expecting like 20,000 people from all over the world. So it's just fun. It's a real independent. There's like no corporate sponsor on this thing.
Oh,
it's
wow.
A very Milwaukee gaming thing. So we're just super excited for this weekend.
And so for someone who's never been, how would you describe what the Midwest Gaming Classic is? Like, how would you describe what you to expect? What's your elevator pitch?
Yeah, so I mean, you're going to see what this event is about is actually playing games, retro and modern games. So you're going to see seas of pinball machines. You're going to see seas of arcade machines. You're going to see seas of console games like Sega Genesis and Atari and Nintendo. But then there's also like a whole playable gaming museum that's rows and rows and rows of like computer games like Oregon Trail, for example.
Yes!
Or
never
have you
that
throughout
game.
The years. Like literally every game that you can possibly think of is there. And that's just one section of it. Then there's also like things like Dungeons and Dragons, like tabletop games, role-playing games, Pokemon cards, like there's whole tournaments. And then there's whole rooms of like panelists, like industry gaming professionals. So it's just everything retro and modern gaming. And I think the last thing I'll say comparatively, like for anyone that's been to a Comic-Con, those are all obviously huge corporate, you know, sponsored events. The vast majority is things that you can just buy. You walk through, you dress up in your cosplay. It's a lot of fun. This, with the price of admission, you go in and you're actually playing games. Everywhere you look, there's stuff to do. And oddly enough, that's a rare thing in the Comic-Con world.
Because it's Comic-Con's, I always thought of it as just like meeting celebrities, meeting like characters. Is there also a gaming element to Comic-Con that I wasn't aware of?
Just like a little bit. That's the thing. You meet celebrities, you check out the panelists, you wear your cosplay, you buy stuff. That's about it. You know, so I think that's what really like sets this apart. Like ever since the beginning, it's just that indie Milwaukee feel to it. That it started from such a small thing with a gaming enthusiast to now where it's grown into this thing that's extremely, I think another really important note to make is, you know, I'm not personally, I'm super into this, but I'm not a hardcore gamer. This is welcome to everyone, Jane, if you're listening. actually, absolutely everyone. Yes, there's hardcore gamers. It brings that in. It's a very welcoming space for all those people. But also, really, like the most common sight I see throughout the weekend are like parents and grandparents bringing their kids in and be like, "Hey, this is the pinball game I played. Here's this Pong I played. Here's Oregon Trail and what that used to look like in the '90s." So it's a really, really cool event that you see people of all ages, all backgrounds coming in and just enjoying games.
And that's the retro part of it that I think sounds really fun and cool to me. Because we on Friday were talking to Brandon Chalker about esports and kind of the new wave of everything that is happening with esports teams and how it's like competitive and all the stuff like that. But like that was certainly like when you say Oregon Trail, I played that. That was the game to play in the '90s. But also just like the love of all sorts of games. And so when they first started this, what was the original games that they were promoting? Because it couldn't have been everything all at once, right?
So this, exactly. It started from in the smallest, humblest beginnings you can possibly imagine. It was the year 2001, and it was started in the basement of a Boy Scout office with like 100 people. And it was just around one gaming console, a little known gaming console called the Atari Jaguar. So not just Atari, but it was a Atari Jaguar. So it was a different segment of that. And people loved playing this game that was like from the 80s and 90s. And they came and to celebrate that. And then year after year after year, it just ballooned into kind of like, let's just celebrate all gaming and let's invite some more of our friends. And I think, you know, around like I said, around 2007 is when I came in. And that's when it really started to really break up into all these different types of gaming, right? And then they moved to Oconomowoc. Then they were for a while at the Brookfield Sheridan. And then they started having like they were busting at the seams with it. There was whole like circus tents trying to fill up all the space that they had. And so I think it was around 5-6 years ago, I remember talking to the co-founder and saying like, please bring this to Milwaukee. This has become a massive thing. Milwaukee needs this, you know, Visit Milwaukee needs this. We need a convention like this. So let's grow this here and let us have like be a huge, huge thing here. And that's what's become. You know, we're expecting more than 20,000 people from literally all over the world. They see people coming from not only around the United States, but all over the world. So it's really, Visit Milwaukee tells us they expect like over $2 million to be spent in tourism dollars downtown. Wow. So it's not just a cute little gaming thing anymore.
Yeah.
This is a legit thing. It's really cool, but it still has that indie feel to it. It's not, you know, over corporatized.
We're talking to Andy Nelson, hype man Andy Nelson, about the Midwest Gaming Classic, which starts Friday and goes to Sunday. And so is there any difference between if someone were to buy a pass to go all 3 days, what's the differences between each day? Or what would be if you want this thing come Saturday versus Sunday, kind of for people if they haven't bought their tickets yet, reasons to go to one day or the other?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, Friday night is really it's called preview night. That's when you get a lot of the hardcore gamers. You get people that are traveling from all over the world that are staying at the hotels around the convention center downtown and really enjoying that night. There's a lot of really fun, unique games that they're kind of going outside the box, right? Like they have, you know, if anyone that likes NBA Jam, what's happened a lot on Friday nights is the voice of NBA Jam, Tim Kritzrow, is there. And there's a whole like Papa Shot competition. Ooh. Where he's like voicing it. So it's like, he's like, you know, from downtown, you know, boom, shakalaka. He's like literally the voice of NBA Jam, right? So it's a lot of like geeky, cool things happening on Friday night. Saturday is everything. That's when really, that's when the big crowds come on Saturday. Everything you can possibly imagine is there. A lot of the panels are on Saturday. And then Sunday, both Saturday and Sunday are good for families. But Sunday is a little bit out of a discounted rate. All weekend long, kids 9 and under get in free. So you just, you see a lot of families on Sunday as well. So I think whenever you come, there's a little bit, you know, a little something different, you know, in the mix for you.
Got it. What, and so for you, what is your favorite... is it exhibit, tournament? Like, what is your favorite thing about the weekend?
My favorite, I'm really like a simple guy. There's a whole, you walk into, like we've all been to some sort of convention, right? So there's these huge exhibit halls. So just to like imagine in your mind's eye that entirely filled with like arcades and pinball machines.
It's a lot more fun than a SAS convention.
That's my favorite part. That's my favorite part. Just like walking in there and playing all of those games on free play. And there's always something unique. Like there's, they have these huge industries that make new pinball machines. So there's always something, you know, new and different to try, like the new latest and greatest pinball machine. But my favorite game is Tron. I do love the movie, Kristen, but the Tron, the arcade game, is like my favorite. And I want to have that in my basement, but I don't have that in my basement. So I love playing that there.
All right. Well, and is there anything that is the other thing that I thought I saw on the website? What is a video game themed band? What does that even sound like?
Yes. So great. It's a lot of, it's like a lot of, like, you can imagine like the Super Mario theme song. So yes. It's a lot of like bands that are become really popular online that'll be there. They're, some are from here, some are from around the country that are coming in and playing a lot of like video game music. So it's pretty like, cool. There's a whole legit stage for it.
So yeah. Is it like is it original music, or is it that they're playing the themes and like the scores of these different games, or is it satire both. Songs? Because that we might be able to get Jane. If it's a parody songs, we could definitely get Jane there for that.
I'm just gonna go ahead and say yes.
Okay.
So perfect. Jane, come. Yeah.
All right. Well, anything in the last minute that you people should know? Where can they get tickets?
Yeah. So you know, tickets are gonna be available. You know, you can walk up and get tickets downtown at the Wisconsin Center. But I recommend going to MidwestGamingClassic.com. Very easy website to remember, and you can pick up tickets there. Whatever you're into, but again, you can walk up and get tickets. And again, it's really, people love Summerfest. People love State Fair. Everyone's got their favorite Wisconsin thing. I know I'm biased, but this is my favorite Wisconsin event. It's just super unique. It's a wonderful event. It's a lot of fun. I've brought like nieces and nephews over the years. It's a really, really cool thing.
All right. Well, I think we might go on Sunday. You might see Mike and I, because he loves games. He likes to pride himself of being very good at games. We'll see if we can drag Jay.
Mike's been there.
I think Mike has definitely been there. I have not been there, so yeah. This would be my first time. Well, Andy Nelson, thank you so much for spending time with us. Have so much fun this weekend. Hopefully I'll see you, and we'll talk to you soon.
I will. Yes, thanks for having me.
All right.
See you, Kristen. See you, Jay.
See you soon. Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
From local town councils to Capitol Hill, agents who are realtors are standing up for what's right. We're here protecting property rights, here advocating for the issues that affect our neighborhoods, here championing fair and equitable housing for all. Because we're realtors, bound by a code of ethics, driven to serve our communities. We're here for it all, here for you. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
Imagine working with a lender that pays you. Ag Country Farm Credit Services is paying out a 1% cash dividend to members on all eligible 2022 business. That payout totals a record of more than $83.5 million. That's the power of the cooperative. To learn more about our cash dividend program, contact your local Egg Country office. Egg Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Egg Country is an equal opportunity lender.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere.
I love Andy Nelson.
I know. He's such a delight.
He is.
He's a very positive person.
Yep.
Best hair in Milwaukee.
By far. I was actually going to compliment him. It was great.
If you want to go back and watch the live stream so you can see what we're talking about, you can always find it on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter under As Goes Wisconsin. Be sure to follow us when you are there. But yes, Andy Nelson has a lot of volume. I don't know if it's natural. I don't know if he uses mousse. We missed the opportunity to ask him what products he uses.
There's nothing's going to stand up that high on its own. I'm just assuming that there's product involved.
Speaking of which, I had a shout out to my friends Sud and Courtney, who had their baby over the weekend. Who I've never seen this much hair on a kid.
Really?
Like right out of the gate.
Wow.
There's a head full of hair. And so my mom, who grew up, once she had a daughter, I grew up Doodads by Deb, which were bows that Debbie made for little girls, aww, specifically me, that I wore. I don't know. I don't know if I wore them willingly or begrudgingly until I chopped all my hair off in second grade. But I sent her the picture and she immediately said, I think she's going to need some bows.
Little girls can never have too many bows.
Little girls can never have too many bows. And so, but yes. And so did we convince you? I think Mike and I are going to go on Sunday.
All right. I have to admit, I am Last of Us curious.
Last of Us? You mean the show?
Yeah. Well, that was based on a video game.
Yeah, it was a very popular video game.
Right. So I am curious about fighting fungi people.
Fungi. All right.
Fungal people, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would also, I'm really curious about VR.
I would love to see you in a VR headset playing a game. Because I have not played around with it very much. I tried on an Oculus headset once, and it's wild. Like, one of the games that we play, they had us do was, like, rock climbing. And it's wild to have both feet on the ground and yet trick your mind into, all you're doing is like you're rock
doing
climbing, but it tricks your brain into thinking that you're stepping on something besides the ground. And I've heard people say like the different VR like workout programs, and you're either fighting something, like you're fighting zombies or something like that, and like you get like a really like drenched workout.
Oh, I bet.
And so yeah, I'd be interested to see. I would love to see you play one, like Jane fights zombies.
Which is what I always do all weekend anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that sounds super fun, and it does sound super unique to Wisconsin. I can't believe they don't have any corporate sponsors after all these years.
Maybe they don't want them.
No, I mean, it seems like they don't need them.
Yeah.
But that was a really interesting point to say that, you know, in so many other events, we always see...
Brought to you by...
Gruber Law Office.
Right.
And so to see that, to grow that organically, that you don't need big corporate sponsors is very, very cool.
Yeah.
So, but speaking of, this was, I guess, games or sports... But as we head into the last week of March Madness for both men and women, I actually heard this on Todd's show this morning. March Madness and the Final Four, you can only use for the NC2A. So the fact that the Badgers, who are in the NIT tournament, are in the semifinal game tomorrow, to then potentially play in the championship on Thursday, you can't call that the Final Four. Did you know that?
No.
Branding. Trademark, baby.
So what, the Final Four police are going to come?
I don't know.
And find you?
I think they just, probably more on the legal side of things, the NIT can't call it the Final Four, even if the like colloquialisms amongst us common people refer to it as that. But I learned that in Todd's show today, that it's it is March Madness and Final Four is specific to the NC2A tournament. But no one I know, I think, still has anyone left in the Final Four for the men's tournament because it's been such a crazy tournament of upsets. But the women's tournament also going into its final two games. But I thought this was worth sharing as we come to an end on Women's History Month, celebrating women, that Wisconsin Badgers, that, you know, we love our Badger, both men and women's sports, and... But setting the bar pretty high for women's sports, because Wisconsin is the only college in the nation to hit 8,200 plus fans at three women's sports events in a single season.
Really?
So the standout games at the Kohl Center include, there was 14,430 fans for a February women's hockey game against St. Cloud State. The second highest NC2A women's hockey single game attendance in history.
Impressive.
And also, I guess we didn't really talk about the fact that the women's hockey team won the national title again.
Again.
And doesn't, I mean, as much as we can lament any other sport right now, like we are dominant in women's hockey. But then there was 16,833 fans for a September women's volleyball match against Florida. And then there was 8,217 fans for a neck-and-neck women's basketball game against Northwestern in January. So who says people don't want to watch women play sports?
That's awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
But, yeah, and I just coming back to the fact that the Badgers women hockey team, was that their seventh title?
That sounds right. Yeah.
What
an accomplishment.
Yeah. Seriously. And still coached by Mark Johnson, arguably probably one of the best coaches in Wisconsin history as far as win rate, and obviously also being part of the miracle team for the Olympics.
Right. Oh, right.
The Olympics. So that's some fun trivia for you this week. But when we come back, I had a reflection as far as after going to the ballet last week and I saw The Hunchback of Notre Dame, and was reminded of the adult themes of that story. And who thought it was going to make a good kids movie? This is Ask Us Wisconsin.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Alyssa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Mid-State Technical College and four partnering technical colleges in Wisconsin awarded a $4.9 million grant by the U.S. Department of Labor. The Strengthening Community College Training Grant will help improve equitable access to training for good-paying jobs.
There's two conflicting meetings scheduled tonight in Clark County. The original meeting, planned by Farmland First, is informational for voters and town supervisors about the wind turbines that are being proposed in the area. It will be held tonight at 7:30 at the Curtis Fire Station. The German-based wind turbine company, RWE Renewables America LLC, was invited to attend that meeting. Instead, they are holding an open house at the Abbotsford City Hall tonight from 5 to 9 p.m. Disabled voters say local election leaders in Wisconsin are breaking federal law during early voting. Advocates say early poll workers are incorrectly telling disabled voters they can't have someone else return their absentee ballots for them. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
The left sideline, going to Davis at the top, feeds Wall high to the right. Badgers down one, 13:40 remaining. Klesman finds a cutting. Davis, Wall on the left, up and in. It counts at a foul. Sorgan extending things a little bit on the defensive end. Esiegit against Ward, throwing to Gilmore, top of the circle, finds a cutting. Hepburn to the rim, and he'll send it in. Chucky Hepburn, slam dunk. The zone here from Oregon. Klesman feeds Wall. Shot clock at five. Skip pass. Chucky stamps off a three. Right side. Book it. Chucky Hepburn for three. And it's 59-57 Wisconsin. And Soares inbounding. The seven-footer Crowell in his face. Soares winds up. Heaves it deep. And it's knocked away. And Guerrier for three. And the tie back run. No good. And it's off to Las Vegas for the Wisconsin Badgers.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy. You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with a link.
Okay.
Smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Kirsten from Pentatonix. We've all learned how to cope with more time alone. With more time spent isolated or at home, the need for companionship has grown. If you've considered adding a pet to your family, please check with your local shelters and foster organizations. Stray pet numbers have grown immensely over the past several years, and the trauma caused to these animals is devastating. Adopt pets, they need us more than we know. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 45. Northwesterly winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, partly cloudy. High temperatures reach up to 43. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. About an inch of snow tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 44.
Oh, peace being pretty dark. Because I bring this up, so I loved Hunchback of Notre Dame, the Disney version. Came out when I was 10. Okay. I think it was 96. And I loved it. I still love it. It's great music. And literally, this is how much it stuck with me. Fast forward to 2015. And I was in Paris by myself. And I I, who usually does not do lines, stood in line to see the Hunchback.
Notre Dame.
To see Notre Dame. And literally as I was standing in this like centuries old building, God Help the Outcast was playing in my head. And like that soundtrack was still in my head.
Wow.
So that is the hold that movie had on me as a kid. And so, and I knew, you know, it's by Victor Hugo, who Les Miserables, mm-hmm. you know, and like was, and you know, and I've learned one of the huge big reasons, motivating reasons he wrote the book was to be, at one point they were going to tear down Notre Dame.
Really?
Instead of restore it and keep it up, they were going to just tear it down.
Wow.
And he was such a avid fan of the Gothic architecture that he basically wrote this as a, I don't know if a plea, but basically to advocate for
saving
it. And, but if you really, like, that story is dark.
The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yes. The Victor Hugo version is incredibly dark, in the same way that Les Miserables is incredibly dark. And so, and I was reminded of this because I got to go see the ballet, the Milwaukee Ballet right now, or I think maybe it ended over the weekend, but they did Michael Pink's Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Okay.
And I went with a girlfriend. It was excellent.
I bet.
But it's a very different version than what happens in the Disney version. But even, and so I went after I saw the ballet, I went and re-listened to the Disney soundtrack. And even that, I was kind of like, there's some themes in here that are questionable, especially as we're having these conversations around what is appropriate for children. That was like, how was no one a little concerned about this? I don't, back then, because if you don't know the story of the Hunchback of Notre Dame, so in the movie, the bad guy in the Hunchback of Notre Dame is the Archdeacon Frollo, who is he is like very pious. He is Quasimodo's father in the fact that he basically Quasimodo as a baby was left at the doorsteps of Notre Dame, and he saw it as a sign from God that how pious he really was to adopt him
and bring him up.
But basically he was then forced to stay inside because he was so ugly. He would scare people, and he was the bell ringer. And so he was also in the book mute and deaf because the bells basically broke his eardrums. And so in the Disney version, Frollo is the only one who dies in the end. Esmeralda survives, Quasi survives, Phoebus, who is like the captain that she, the love interest, survives. That's not what happens in the real story.
Oh, really?
No. So in the original, and what drives a large part of the plot is the fact that the Archdeacon is overcome by lust and desire for Esmeralda. And so it's basically, if he can't have her, she cannot no longer keep living. So like and this is a huge part of the original story, is like, she's too sexy. And so he either needs to like force her to be with him, or he tries to basically like get her arrested and executed.
Oh, lovely. So it's the whole, if I can't have her, no one
yes.
can.
And then the reason why Quasimodo's in there is because at one point, the Archdeacon convinces Quasimodo to go kidnap her, and then Quasimodo gets caught kidnapping her, and so then he gets publicly flogged, and she's nice to him while he's getting publicly flogged, so then he becomes obsessed with her because it's the only kindness like anyone's ever given him. So it's all these things that like, and at some point in the real story, Phoebus dies. She gets accused of murdering him. She dies. Quasimodo is basically, the end of the story is him like holding her lifeless body.
Oh, lovely.
And so it's like, this could definitely be a Game of Thrones story. And it got me thinking about the fact that that's how most of the Disney movies are.
Well, they're very sanitized versions of the original stories.
And so this starts with Cinderella,
which is the original Cinderella is horrifying.
Yeah.
It's horrifying.
It's horrifying. And so, like, at least she does, like, she does end up with the prince. But in the meantime, her stepsisters get their eyes pecked out by birds. And in order to try to, even before that, in order to try to fit into the slipper, one chops her toes off and the other chops her heel off.
Yeah, that wasn't in any of the Cinderella versions that I've seen.
No. And then Rapunzel, they made that into a Disney movie. I think they called it Tangled instead of just Rapunzel.
Right.
But that was made kind of post my time of consuming Disney movies. But, you know, the original story is basically centered around sex and pregnancy. And so Rapunzel is given to the witch because her father stole herbs from the witch's garden to satisfy her pregnant mother's
cravings.
And so then, so that's like the origin story. But then as she grows up and she's held in this tower, and when the prince turns up unannounced at her tower, and the two begin the night evidently with unprotected lovemaking.
Uh-oh.
This is in the original story.
Wow.
Because she soon becomes pregnant. Rapunzel in the original story becomes pregnant. And, of course, she has no idea what pregnancy is. But then the witch banishes her to the desert to give birth on her own there.
I'm sorry. I thought this was happening in Florida. Continue.
And then also the prince, he also goes blind at the end of that story because the witch, like, throws him into the rose bush and the thorns blind him.
What were the Grimm brothers on, man?
I don't know.
Or what was the point, just to terrify your children?
But I think it's interesting, like, how, and so I ask again if anyone knows, because I actually don't know, because I also recently found out that Bambi was originally written by, as like a warning about the Nazis. It's originally a Jewish writer who, it was about like a hunter, and like it's like a whole allegory for Jewish people being hunted in like early Nazi Germany.
Wow.
So that's also super dark. So it's like, I ask again, what Disney movie doesn't have a super dark origin story, or like its origin material isn't like, oh, that is,
that's pretty
is
bleak.
That for kids? 844-967-2789, because I can't think of one.
Well, even Frozen, which is one of the more recent ones that I can think of, but that has a dark core too.
Is it based off something?
No, but I mean, I still think for an animated children's movie, there's a dark heart there too.
And maybe that's part of, I guess that goes back to like what is child appropriate? Because ultimately these are stories, and I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing. I just think it's interesting that so many of the like foundational elements of children's movies are based off things that someone saw the original source material and was like, yeah, that'd make a good kids movie.
If we just leave out, you know, like 3/4 of the original plot, it'll be fine.
Well, and it's not 3/4. It's like details, right?
Right.
I mean, but although Little Mermaid was the end is totally changed. Little Mermaid, in the original Little Mermaid, she does not survive.
She doesn't?
No. Like, and it's like, so the original, let me get the, so I don't screw this up. But because Malcolm Gladwell did a whole series on this. I think it was like a 3-episode arc about how the actual story of Little Mermaid is very different than what the beloved and soon to be live action film of Little Mermaid is. But it was, you know, it's the story of a mermaid making a disastrous deal with a sea witch in return for legs. But in the original story, it's not that she just takes her voice box like magically. The witch cuts out her tongue.
Oh my God.
To make matters worse, when she gets her legs, she's in like terrible pain trying to walk. And then the prince ends up marrying someone else. Sebastian and Flounder do not save the day like they do in Little Mermaid. Triton does not like make a rainbow at the end. But in general, he marries someone else and she goes back to sea and she turns into like seafoam.
Oh.
Yeah. So like that one, they did change the plot. Cinderella it ends the same. It's just they don't give the details of what happens to the evil sisters.
Wow.
But I'm trying to think. I mean, like, can you think of one?
Again, if they come, if the origin is the Brothers Grimm, pretty much no. Because they were some dark guys.
And I don't know if the point is, because I mean, fables, like some of the oldest storytelling mechanisms we have are, you know, they're about teaching lessons and teaching, you know, using characters and sometimes not realistic situations to teach bigger themes about life. And so, I mean, even thinking about Roald Dahl, and like the now that they're trying to sanitize some of those books, whereas like the themes of Roald Dahl's books are not
happy spice.
Yeah, like the core story of like witches is pretty dark. The core story of Matilda and being ignored by her family and like only having one teacher who's actually nice to her. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, or Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, is not, you know, a super, like, he's not, Willy Wonka's not like a friendly, normal guy.
No, he's not.
And so, like, a lot of those themes of those books are, like, dark in the first place, and yet they're children's books. I mean, they're not, like, five-year-olds, but, like, fourth grade, fifth grade. And so maybe that is just, like, the core part of children's literature and children's books is finding more sanitized ways to tell adult stories.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out what lesson were the Brothers Grimm trying to get across with them cutting off their toes and their heels to be nice.
Well, be nicer.
Is that it? I thought it was, you know, make sure you buy the right shoe size. I'm not sure what they were going for on that.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just creepy.
Because even, you know, think about, what are some of the other ones? Like Hansel and Gretel, of just a witch that eats children.
And they kill her.
And then Red Riding Hood, where he eats her grandmother. And then she gets eaten, right? Is it the huntsman that...
The huntsman saves her, I think.
And they're just like still alive. And because a wolf is like a snake, where they just swallow you whole instead of... So you'd be fine as long as we just cut your stomach
open. Sure, no problem.
But yeah, I guess, again, I guess maybe Moana. I don't know the origin story of Moana.
That doesn't seem... I love that movie.
I love that, but I love the music of that movie.
I do too. Can't we just have one nice movie?
Has anyone texted in? I don't know if anyone has an answer for me. What Disney movie does not have super dark origin material?
Even Bambi starts out with, you know, a death.
Yeah. And maybe Lion is, because what is the origin story or the origin material for Lion King?
I thought that was an original.
That might have, it wasn't, I don't think Aladdin was.
The Badgers men's basketball team continues postseason play.
You can hear the action when Wisconsin takes on North Texas in the semifinal round of the National Invitational Tournament Tuesday night at 6.
Listen on these local Civic Media Network radio stations. WFHR 1320 AM, 97.5 FM in Wisconsin Rapids is our flagship station. Dial up WRCE 1450 AM or 107.7 FM in Richland Center.
Or WLAK 1260 AM in Amory.
Find the Badgers on these local Civic Media radio stations and everywhere on the Civic Media app.
I'm Nyheim Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before.
From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. AMDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam, ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Brookfield's choice for News Talk Radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are rounding out this Monday after a pretty good show. I'm surprised we didn't get more feedback on the Disney thing.
Again, I don't think there are many that don't have a real dark backstory.
So I should have asked a different question as far as what is another? What is your favorite dark Disney movie? And what is your favorite Disney movie? Do you have one? Do you have like one that...
I love Moana.
Okay.
I really do. And it was The Rock, right?
The Rock was in it, yep. And which, it was also, the music was by Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, yeah. Yep. No, the soundtrack is wonderful.
And so growing up, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like there was like the almost 3 years in a row was like Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, and then Lion King. Was that the order? And I feel like those three in a row for a long time were like my favorites.
And then
Hunchback came out and I really liked that one.
I have never seen that one.
It's good. But I maintain, I mean, like I said, like the original story is dark. And even when I think about the soundtrack that is still part of the Disney story. And like I said, like a core part of that show and that's original story is the lust of the Archdeacon and his inner turmoil about wanting this, in the movie, they still use the word gypsy, but Romani woman. And basically, and like, you'd think that that part, especially in the climate that we're in now, they wouldn't have included that part. But this is one of the songs called Heaven's Light / Hellfire, which is a, not duet, but it's like it goes from one to the other. So it goes from Quasimodo singing to the to Frollo singing. And these are some of the lyrics that Frollo sings in a kid's movie. Beata Maria, you know I am a righteous man. Of my virtue, I am justly proud. This is like chanting like a religious song.
Okay.
Beata Maria, you know I'm so much purer than the common, vulgar, weak, licentious? I should know that because I used to know all these lyrics. Crowd. Also, big word for a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Then tell me, Maria, why I see her stand dancing there, why her smoldering eyes still scorch my soul. I feel her, I see her, the sun caught in her raven hair is blazing in me out of all control. Like fire, hellfire, this fire in my skin, this burning desire is turning me to sin.
Ooh.
This is a kid's movie.
Wowza.
So they kept that part. I mean, I don't know how you do the show with like, and can create the stakes and the conflict without that part.
Right.
But I would love to like flash back into being a 10-year-old and if there was any concern when this came out.
But did you even recognize that as a kid? That probably didn't even cross the transom of your brain.
Well, I understood it as far as a plot point for... I understood him to be the bad guy.
Right.
Because he wanted to hurt. Also because you know, like Jafar and every other character.
The way they're drawn.
The way they're drawn is like, oh, that's clearly the villain.
Yeah, pretty
and so
easy.
My 10-year-old brain was like, oh, we don't like that guy.
Yeah.
And, but it's just... It's the constant question of like, what is appropriate, what is not, who gets to decide, why is, you know, because this, I mean, and if anything, this points to an ongoing issue with the church, which is of the pious leaders, whether it's taking advantage of that power with young men or women, both. And so like, if anything, it was like, oh, this is actually a true thing that's been going on for a long time.
Temptation, baby.
So, all right. Well, what do we have coming up tomorrow? I'm trying to think of anything we can plug for tomorrow's show. But I know coming up on Luke Mather's show, they're going to be talking about AI. We haven't talked a lot about AI in this show.
I find it all very confusing.
Well, I also just don't know, like, beyond the question of, like, is this scary?
Well, yeah, I think it's scary.
Yeah. And I think the more I hear about it, I think on one hand, it's useful. There's probably increasingly more ways for it to be useful. But also, if it's something that continues to teach itself and it doesn't need humans to be teaching it things, but also what it does to the workforce and how much dumber it makes us and by depending on it. But so on Dueling Tangents, they're going to talk about that. And then I think he's going to run through a bunch of Wisconsin headlines. And on the Chad Holmes show, 2:15, they're going to keep talking to different candidates for the Wausau School Board. And at 3, he's going to be joined by Joel Lewis of Citizen Action Wisconsin. So definitely stay tuned for that. And
if you want to go back to Luann Bird was a wonderful, wonderful guest. She was just terrific. And I would also suggest, again, tomorrow we are 1 week away. Tomorrow will be 1 week away from the really important April 4th election for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So we covered quite a bit of stuff in that first hour.
Yeah.
With some of the nasty stuff that's going on.
Absolutely.
As we get closer and closer.
As we get closer and closer, we got one more week, and then we'll get a little bit of a reprieve from political ads.
When will be the next election? Do you know?
We'll have another spring election in 2024.
Okay.
For local seats, but I don't think there's anything coming up in the fall for this year. So then, but obviously, by the end of this year, we'll already be in.
We'll be drowning in
presidential stuff.
Yep.
And RNC stuff. And so, yeah, but then coming up tomorrow on our show, we have Dan Schaefer from the Beacon Population Area. So we'll get his thoughts probably on anything. I'll ask him the same question of like, what could sway anyone at this point as far as
who you're going to vote for?
Well, yeah, if you're going to vote, who you're going to vote for with 1 week left. And then we're going to talk to a linguistics professor from UW-Madison, Joe Salmons.
This will be great.
Who we read about Milwaukeese, which I had never heard of before until reading about it in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. But we're going to have a conversation around our interpretations of language, of like what dialects, what our assumption about different dialects are. Like, why do British people, we assume that they're smart? I guess it maybe depends on the British accent.
It depends on that. Yes, it does.
But versus like a Boston accent or a Wisconsin
New Jersey
accent.
Or a New Jersey accent.
Yeah. And like, we love Charlie Barron's, but if you actually met someone who talked that way in real life, what would your impression of them be? And so I'm really excited for that conversation. So come back tomorrow, 11 a.m., as goes Wisconsin. Stick around for Dueling Tangents and the Chad Holmes Show now. But otherwise, thank you for listening. Thank you for texting. And we'll see you tomorrow.
I'm Tumani. When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things. I committed some crimes, and even got shot, but I'm not a criminal.
That's right. I'm Jamal. I work for Youth Advocate Programs. Yeah, I was Tumani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, get a job, and work hard to see a better future for himself. If you have a change of mindset, you can have a change of action.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
No, she's a good student and a great kid. As Jalen's Yap advocate, I'm always here for her. With the Youth Advocate Programs, I was able to connect with Jalen.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration, congregate placement, and neighborhood violence. After completing our program, 86% of participants were arrest-free. YAP works.
And now, I'm a YAP advocate, helping kids like me find a better way.
Youth Advocate Programs. Others talk social change. We make it happen. Learn how at
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your place for this